We think we know, and we think we see. I consider that as a problem. All kinds of spiritual problems come from that attitude. I think that I know. I think I see. From there, complacency and judgmental attitude and all kinds of things, spiritual problems can occur from that attitude. And Jesus also saw that as a problem. He said, if you are blind, in other words, if you think that you did not see, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. You don't still see it. That's what it meant. We think we see, and that makes us blind. We think we know, and that makes us ignorant. The moment you think you know, your knowledge stops. Why? Because your incomplete and limited knowledge stops the process of having fuller understanding. If you already think that you know, why would you want to know more? Why would you explore further? Because you already think that you know. That was what people in Nazareth did. Jesus came back to his hometown. See, Jesus, even though he was born in Nazareth, most of the time, he spent his time in Capernaum, about 50 kilometers from Nazareth. So he didn't do ministry in Nazareth. He did ministry in Capernaum. And then now he came back to his hometown and he went to synagogue and then he preached. Capernaum is a hometown of Matthew, the tax collector, and Peter and Andrew, the brothers, their hometown, and also sons of Zebedee's, John and James, their hometown. So all these famous people's hometown was Capernaum, and Jesus spent a lot of time there in Capernaum, and he came home and he preached in synagogue. And people were shocked hearing Jesus, because so wise, and they never heard that kind of wisdom from any lecturers or any scribes. And then he spoke with authority, not just in tone, but he knew what he was talking about. Authority is like speaking like author. When you are author of a book, you have authority over that book. That he had that authority, author kind of attitude. So he spoke with authority, and people were shocked and impressed, and come on in. Take your time. So they're incredibly impressed by what Jesus said. But you know, the same thing happened in Capernaum. When he preached and taught in Capernaum, this was the reaction. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. That was same response he got. Everywhere he went, Capernaum or Nazareth and Jerusalem, everywhere he went and he spoke, and they were so shocked by his teaching. But the reaction in Nazareth was strangely different from other places. I mean, even though they were very, very impressed, I mean, this is what people in Nazareth said. Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? They're quite surprised. And yet, immediately after that, this was what people in Nazareth said. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Instead of believing in him, they took offense at Jesus. Why? Why did they take offense at Jesus? They were impressed. And yet something else was going on. There was prejudice. The prejudice was kicked in and controlled their thinking. I mean, if they heard a wonderful message, the response should have been faith, belief. But instead of faith, the prejudice was kicked in and they took offense at Jesus. They thought they knew Jesus. Oh, I know this guy. From when he was young, I've seen him. I know him. They thought that they knew Jesus. But did they really know Jesus? Would they have known that this Jesus they thought they knew would change the whole world for 2,000 years? Would they have ever imagined that this man that they were talking about was the one who influenced and shaped the thoughts of the people for the last 2,000 years and billions of people were changed by him? Would they have known Jesus in that way? No. They only saw this poor young boy kind of person. They would have never known this Jesus would have had that kind of impact and influence on people. The moment they thought they knew Jesus, their knowledge about Jesus stopped because it stayed at their limited understanding. From that point on, prejudice controlled and guided their thinking. I hope that this doesn't happen to us. I hope that this doesn't happen to you. They stopped learning and understanding who Jesus was. They were entrapped in their own prejudice. This prejudice not only give you distorted view of that person, but also it takes away the power. When you have prejudice, you don't experience the power. So Jesus could not do any miracles in his hometown. And that's sad. Their prejudice hindered the power of God being released. This was how Mark described the situation. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. It was not that Jesus did not have power, but because of their prejudice, the power could not work in them. That's not how faith works. Prejudice takes away faith and then doesn't allow you to have that power. Faith is not memorizing doctrines you already know and regurgitated constantly. Faith is not about strongly holding on to whatever is acceptable, comfortable to you, and verifiable. That was the kind of faith Paul had before he met Christ. He thought he had a strong faith. So he kept the law, protected the law, and everything was about this law, that he held on to this law and he wanted to protect. And even with his faith, he tried to protect God. But in the end, he realized that he was not protecting God. He was protecting his own prejudice. He didn't realize that faith was not about holding on to right statements. Faith is about releasing the power of grace. He never experienced that faith could release the power of grace. Faith was just about knowing the law and keeping the law. But through faith, he didn't realize that the power of grace is released in you. Only after all these prejudices were shattered, he was able to experience the power of God. So Damascus' experience was about his prejudice being shattered. And he experienced the power to defeat the power of darkness, the power to forgive sins, the power to heal the brokenhearted, and the power to raise the dead. I want all you to experience that power through your faith. When you let go of your prejudice, thinking that I know it all, when you start exploring God's presence in your life, you can experience the power of grace being released in you. When you have faith, your understanding does not stop. Your understanding gets deeper and deeper, never stops. Your understanding goes beyond yourself. Your understanding does not get stuck in your own knowledge. More than anything else, through grace, you see yourself changed. St. Paul once had a supernatural experience. He called it going to the third heaven. When he went up to the third heaven, all he could say was not, "I know." All he could say was, "I don't know." This is what he said. "I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows." So when you have this spiritual experience, all you can say is, "I don't know." It's not about, "I know now." It's all about, "I don't know." Because he experienced something wonderful beyond his understanding. That's why he could say only, "I don't know." But immediately after that experience, thorn was given to him. And that made him very weak. And so he wanted to get rid of that thorn. And he prayed because he wanted to be strong. Who doesn't want to be strong? Everybody wants to be strong. I want to be powerful. I want to be strong. And yet, that thorn made him feel so weak. But God did not take away the thorn. God did not make him strong. Rather, God gave him this wonderful truth. This is what he said. "My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness." What God is saying, live with your weakness. But through your weaknesses, you will experience my power. He never knew that kind of truth existed. He always thought that he had to be strong. But this time, he realized that I don't have to be strong. In my weaknesses, I can experience the power of God, the strength of God. New realization came to him. So St. Paul confessed, "Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I'm weak, then I'm strong. That is the power of grace. Through faith, grace is released to you. Through the power of grace, even your weakness becomes your strength. Your prejudice not only stops your knowledge, but it also blocks you from having faith. That's why people of Nazareth could not accept Jesus, because of their prejudices. And Jesus was even amazed at how powerful the prejudice was. And Jesus said this, and he was amazed at their unbelief. My friends, if you are filled with prejudices, you'll never grow. You'll never have faith. You'll never have understanding. And you'll never experience the power of God in your life. Christian journey is not about adding more prejudices, whether it's religious prejudices or moral prejudices or personal prejudices. Christian journey is not about adding more prejudices. Christian journey is about taking one layer after another so that you can experience the truth of God that is revealed, and they experience the power of God that is revealed and released to you. Experience the power of God that is released through your faith.